this is your Polycast for Tuesday, May 2nd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a lobbyist speaks out about her allegations against a St. Paul council member, and Edina is poised to raise the smoking age. The Republican Party of Minnesota says it has dealt with the person who put an anti-Muslim post on a Western Minnesota Party Facebook page. The post on the 7th Congressional District GOP page targeted DFL Congressman Keith Ellison from Minneapolis and Colin Peterson. Peterson represents the 7th District. It includes a picture of Ellison from a 2015 turkey hunting trip he took with Peterson. An anti-Muslim slur is superimposed over the photo. Newly elected party chair Jennifer Carnahan called the post repugnant and hate speech.
We did receive the immediate resignation of the individual responsible, and we're moving forward as a party and focusing on the great values that we stand for and champion.
Carnahan declined to identify the person responsible, saying it was an internal matter. A similar incident happened in 2015 when a volunteer was fired after tweeting a racially charged item on the district party's Twitter feed. Minnesota House Republicans have released a bill that would authorize $600 million in state borrowing for public construction projects. Brian Baxt has more.
The opening bid of Majority House Republicans comes 3 weeks before the required adjournment to the 2017 session. The proposal is about 40% the size of a plan produced by DFL Governor Mark Dayton and considerably smaller than a Senate Republican version. The bonding bill is harder than most legislation to pass because it takes a 3/5 majority, meaning bipartisan cooperation is essential. House Republicans would commit a large share of the new debt to local road and bridge projects. Public colleges would get help with repairs, but short of what was requested. Flood mitigation projects and wastewater plant upgrades would consume more than $150 million of the bill's overall price tag. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Twin Cities transit supporters say a temporary federal spending bill up for passage this week is good news for the Southwest Light Rail Transit line. The $1.9 billion line would connect downtown Minneapolis and Eden Prairie. Plans call for the federal government to pay half, with the rest from local sources. President Trump's spending plan did not include funds for any public transit projects, but Met Council Chair Adam Dunick says the inclusion of $10 million for Southwest Light Rail in the budget bill from Congress is a positive sign.
It doesn't guarantee future funding, but I want to be clear, it's an important step and milestone in continuing the case that we've been making, which is the federal government is strongly invested in this project and in additional transit projects around the country.
There's still significant opposition to the Southwest project among Republicans at the state capitol. Republican State Representative Linda Runbeck opposes the project and says the appropriation appears to be insignificant. The lobbyist at the heart of a government corruption investigation in St. Paul has come forward publicly. Lobbyist Sarah Clark says she felt City Council member Dai Tao was asking for a campaign contribution in exchange for supporting an issue she was advocating. Tao is also running for mayor of St. Paul, and yesterday the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension confirmed it's looking into the allegation. Tim Nelson has more.
Bribery. That's what Sarah Clark thought after a meeting with Dai Tao in February. Clark says the meeting in a St. Paul coffee shop was about food packaging, and that remarks by the St. Paul council member made it uncomfortable.
He said at one point that he needed resources, to which my client responded that they would be happy to provide him with some additional information. Again, he said he needed resources to spread his message.
When he left, you had a discussion about what you thought the nature of those resources were. What was the impression of the three of you at the table there?
There were four of us total, and it was clear to all of us that this was a solicitation for a campaign contribution.
Dai Tao has denied any wrongdoing. But Clark says that within minutes of that February meeting, his campaign manager followed up with a text message asking specifically for a contribution to Tao's campaign for mayor. Tao fired campaign manager Angela Marlowe over the weekend after Twin Cities TV station Fox 9 reported the story. This is the first time Sarah Clark is speaking publicly. She says she wants the record to be clear that she did nothing wrong, She says she also doesn't believe that Angela Marlowe acted without Tao's approval.
And the fact that he made this request in person during a meeting, then had his campaign manager follow up with me via text message, suggests to me that this is not a problem of the campaign manager, but rather she was following orders from the council member.
Isn't this just the way it works? I mean, isn't this how Washington and St. Paul works, that you ask something and they expect something in return?
You know, I think that is the popular misconception. That is not at all how it happens here. I was shocked to receive this message. I've never encountered anything like this in my time working in politics here in Minnesota. So absolutely not. You know, we go do our work every day as lobbyists to educate elected officials. We build coalitions to bring people together. And I think we help people make better policy.
And Clark has some direct experience with local officials and how they work. She's married to Minneapolis City Councilmember Jacob Fry, who's running for mayor there. Clark said she was initially reluctant to speak publicly because of the attention it would draw to her and possibly Fry and her clients. But she says she's been encouraged by the response she's seen to the matter coming to light.
I'm getting a lot of support, which is, you know, very kind. But I'm also hearing people having similar stories involving Councilmember Tao. And, you know, in Minnesota, where I think we do, by and large, such a great job of keeping our politics clean and ethical, it's just shocking to me.
Tao did not respond to an inquiry about any other cases, and neither he nor his campaign offered further information about the Clark matter. Additional information, he said over the weekend, would be forthcoming. The allegations involving Tao come as he's engaged in a DFL endorsement battle with three other candidates for mayor of St. Paul. Incumbent Chris Coleman is leaving the office next year to run for governor, and Coleman said Sunday that he had turned the matter of the allegations involving Tao over to Police Chief Todd Axtell, who in turn asked the BCA to investigate. A BCA spokeswoman said in a statement that the agency will gather the facts and present its findings to prosecutors. The Ramsey County Attorney's Office said today that Tao's campaign manager, Angela Marlowe, who was directly involved in the matter, works in the office's Child Support Division. A spokesman said that Ramsey County will ask the BCA to refer to an outside agency for any prosecutorial decisions. Bribery, either asking for or giving money in return for official action, is a felony in Minnesota and under federal law. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Edina is poised to become the first city in Minnesota to raise the age for buying tobacco from 18 to 21. The city council is expected to give final approval tonight. Supporters say the change would keep tobacco away from kids, but owners of stores that sell tobacco say it would hurt their bottom line and it won't stop kids from getting tobacco. Dan Gunderson has more.
Edina Mayor Jim Hovland thinks his city is starting something. He says towns around the state have called asking for information about the proposed ordinance raising the legal age to buy tobacco from 18 to 21. Hovland compares it to another smoking-related change, the move to eliminate smoking in public places.
All of that had its genesis at the local level, and it percolated up to the state legislature where finally something got done about it.
Hovland says the tobacco ordinance has broad support in the community. The opposition is primarily from retailers that sell tobacco products. Tom Bryant is executive director of the National Association of Tobacco Outlets. He says the organization represents 50,000 stores nationwide, including some in Edina. He says the ordinance won't curb youth tobacco use because people will simply drive to the next community to buy what they want.
What that means for Edina retailers is they'll lose about 5% of their tobacco sales. But it gets worse. Those same people will then buy their gasoline, their snacks, beverages, and other products at the stores in the neighboring suburbs as well.
Edina Mayor Jim Hovland says he understands there will be some economic impact on local stores.
We just think on balance it's more important that this tobacco age purchase be raised to 21 from 18 for these public health purposes. It's on balance, there's a stronger impact there than there is an adverse economic impact on some of the dispensers of tobacco products.
The doctor who led the push for the Edina ordinance says he's heard all the arguments about why raising the age to buy tobacco won't work, but he says data support the move. Caleb Schultz is a physician at Hennepin County Medical Center and serves on the Edina Community Health Commission. He points to a study from a Boston suburb that was one of the first to pass a similar ordinance more than a decade ago.
Needham, Massachusetts was essentially a public health island, having a Tobacco 21 ordinance in place. Tobacco 21 cut the youth smoking rate in half in that city specifically, the drop was three times greater than the surrounding communities.
Retailers also argue the ordinance punishes them, but doesn't make it illegal for those under 21 to use tobacco. Schultz says the idea is not to punish kids, but to make tobacco less accessible. Groups trying to eliminate tobacco use in Minnesota see Edina as an important win. Molly Moylanen is Director of Public Affairs for Clearway Minnesota, a nonprofit focused on reducing tobacco use.
We see Edina as a first step and really hope that other localities take notice and will follow suit. And yeah, eventually we hope the legislature will also take a close look at this as well.
Nationwide, more than 220 cities have raised the age for tobacco purchases to 21. Two states, Hawaii and California, have passed laws to change the age statewide. Tom Bryant with the National Association of Tobacco Outlets says 26 states are considering similar laws. 10 have rejected the idea this year.
There is some real resistance, even at the state level, to adopt these. And it's because you're dealing with an adult age issue.
Tobacco age legislation has not been introduced at the Minnesota legislature. But Edina officials say, based on calls from other communities, they expect the idea to catch on in towns and cities around the state. Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.